Okay, so 50 bucks to the first person. No, I've got, don't have 50 bucks. My wallet is empty. Bongo Musa Makatini is the new chair of the SABC. I was going to say, name the new chair of the SABC. I'd be surprised if anybody could, because it's only been a month since he has taken over this role. He doesn't have a particularly high public profile. He's worked in corporate for many, many years. Worked as a consultant. You shouldn't hold that against him too much. As a consultant at Accenture, he's worked for all the SIN companies and still works in SIN. SAB Miller, he worked there for about 8 years, six years, and most recently at British American Tobacco. You grew up in KZN as a rural kid, grew up cutting sugar cane and laboring from a young age.
That's correct.
Was it, what was the dream as a kid?
My biggest dream was to transform my family from poverty and get them to a point where they could have a decent living. And also to turn around the situation, because I had seen my father struggling, my grandfather struggling, and I said, I need to do things differently from the way in which they did things. So education became my passion and my goal.
But the goal was not realized, not initially anyway, because you're in matric, your dad dies, and suddenly you're responsible for the family.
No, my father didn't die. My father is still alive.
I beg your pardon. Okay.
So, but basically what was happening...
But something bad happened in that matric year, and things fell apart a bit.
Because I grew up in an environment where there was political violence between the ANC and the IFP.
Where was
North Coast? That is Mbangi, North Coast of KwaZulu-Natal. So I had to take responsibility and basically support my mother and my siblings with their education. So I started funding their education while I was still at school. So that gave me quite a huge responsibility on my shoulders while pursuing my own dreams of going to school. But I had to also to help my siblings with their education.
What were you doing to make money?
So the first job that I did, I worked as a farm worker in the sugarcane farm. So basically, I'll do that on weekends and when during school holidays. And then after that, I got a job with Jetstars at the time as a sales assistant.
Were you good at that?
I was good at it.
Did you get commissions?
A lot of bonuses. Okay. I mean, if I were to call it like that. And then I also did hard work, like building churches, because I was very active at my church. So that's how I used to get money. And then at the later stage, I opened a little tuck shop in my village, where also, because I had to find ways and means to get money to support my family while funding my own education.
So you had to be resourceful. But the dream was to be a doctor. And that
my dream was to be a doctor. Yeah. Yes. No, that dream was not realized, because when I was in Standard 9, I realized that because I did not have enough time to study and practice, mathematics and science requires a lot of practice. But I didn't have time because I had to work and study. So I had to quit the science stream and go to general, because I was sure that I could get distinction and get admitted in a university without having to do away with my work. So that dream I had to...
But you chose teaching as a quick fix to get into paid work and to get yourself a decent salary, because, again, that family pressure...
That's correct.
...was a case of like, well, got to do something. What's the quickest way to get a proper job? Ah, teaching.
Teaching, yes.
Did you teach?
Actually, I never really taught. When I finished my degree, my honours, I was appointed a part-time lecturer. So I did lecture, but not in a school where I was meant to go.
But the University of Zululand.
University of Zululand, yeah. That's where I was a part-time lecturer.
So how did you get into corporate then? Because you suddenly get quite on a rapid, fast track. You get into Accenture and you get to SAB, which is, as I said, Kevin Hedewick, the former chief executive of Famous Brands, once told me, the best MBA in the world. Yes. And then to British American Tobacco.
How I got into Accenture, actually, as part of my job, I had two jobs with the university. I was a part-time lecturer, but I also was a student development officer. As a student development officer, I was responsible for attracting companies to come recruit my students. So then I negotiated with Accenture to come recruit my student. And it took long to convince Accenture to come recruit, because they used to go to VETS, UCT, and I said, "Yo, there's talent here, come." Finally, they came. So after interviewing my student, a guy, it was Tembi Kuzwayo, I think she's one of the HR executives at Standard Bank, and Jeremy Piercus. Then at the end of the day, they said, "Bongo Musa, actually, we're more interested in you."
They hired you.
I said, no. Guys, I invited you to come recruit my student, not me. Then they said, "No, we like your passion, we like your leadership, your drive, and the things you've done as a student leader. We'd want to give you an opportunity to work for Accenture." That's how I ended up with Accenture.
Now, you are non-executive chair of the SABC. Do you keep your day job at British American Tobacco?
Yes, yes.
And what is that job?
So I'm basically the director of legal and external affairs for BAT Southern Africa. So that is.
So you're big on stamping out illegal cigarettes?
Yes, I'm
and
big.
Things like that.
I mean, that's my passion.
That's the main focus.
Yes.
That could get you into trouble, and you know, if we believe the stories around SARS, and I mean, yeah, that's a conflict of interest working in the public sector, isn't it? And stamping out corruption in the illicit cigarette trade.
I am of the view that South Africans hate corruption, and I believe that there are South Africans who are passionate about fighting corruption. Because at the end of the day, if we don't tackle the issue of illicit as a problem, this whole economy will become problematic. I mean, the estimate is that about 10% of our economy is illicit, which is over 200 billion. That's a lot of money, and we can't fold our arms and do nothing about it.
Unfortunately, you're going into a really toxic environment. I don't know if the environment is still toxic. The environment at the SABC has been gradually increasingly toxic over the last 10 to 15 years. So, and we saw the mad reign of Claudi Motsoeneng and Ben Ngobani, who let him get away with it, and Ubaba, who loved Claudi so much, who let him get away with he could do almost anything. People lived in fear at the SABC. Is that what you found now that you've arrived there? That's only been a month, but what do you find there?
It is correct. My assessment, the situation there is quite dire. Systems are not really working correctly. People are not adhering to the standards and the policies that are there. And this is what I said during my interview, that the SABC problems have got nothing to do much with broadcasting per se, but it's general lapse of consequences management and people doing what they need to do and held accountable for the decisions that they make. So it is quite in a dust state. You look at the financials, you look at people that are being are on suspension, you look at the cases that are being investigated. It is quite a lot that needs to be fixed. But as a board, we're quite confident that we can turn it around.
Why did you accept the job?
It's always been my dream that at the end of the day, as South Africans, we can't keep on pointing fingers and complaining. You know, if the ship is sinking and we allow that water to come in, ultimately we're going to all drown. So at some point, we've got to have South Africans who roll up their sleeves and go and do something about the situation of our country. That was basically one of the things I wanted to do. I've been working now, supporting my family for more than 15 years, and I wanted an opportunity to do something for South Africa that has got nothing much to do with me benefiting financially, but using my skills, experience, and expertise to contribute in a meaningful
way. Why are you the right person to turn around the sinking ship that is the SABC?
One of the things that when you look at what makes somebody qualify for a particular task, you look at their education. I mean, I've been fortunate with all the difficulties that I went through as a child. I had an opportunity to go to universities, University of Zululand, University of Johannesburg, and Harvard. From an education perspective, I've got the right exposure. But secondly, when you look at the companies and the work that I've done in the private sector, I've worked in the consulting space. There you're dealing with systems, you're dealing with processes, you learn to drive efficiencies, you learn to develop models, which makes companies profitable and more efficient. That's the experience I got from a consulting environment.
But in all your years of consulting, have you ever come across such a travesty as the SABC?
No, I wouldn't. I haven't. But what consulting does for you, you get exposure to various industries, which gives you exposure and experience, which then when put together with the experience I got from SAB, where I was director of corporate affairs, dealing with regulations, stakeholder engagement, driving projects, and those kind of activities. When you look at that combination, it then gives me what is required to turn around the SABC. But of course, I also work with a team of capable South Africans. I'm not the one-man show. So if you look at my board, you've got people from different walks of life with different experiences, and together we'll then be able to do what is required.
There are even people with media experience on your board.
That's
which is kind of crazy, because for a long time we've had nobody with electricity experience on the Eskom board, nobody with any broadcasting experience on the SABC board, nobody with any aviation experience on the SAA board. Perhaps we are in for a turnaround. Bongo Musa Makatini is the new chair of the SABC. We get on to the more tricky questions in just a moment.
The Money Show. Shape Shifters.
Now, Shapeshifter is the new chair of the SABC, Bongo Musa Makatini. He is in studio with us this evening. What about the allegations that you are there as a political appointee? The suggestion, not even an allegation, it's a suggestion. You served on the Bongi Ngema Zuma Foundation as the chair of that foundation, and that led to the assertions that somehow you're connected to the Zuma family, that you're buddies, and you're there as a plant. In South Africa today, nobody trusts appointment anymore. What's your response to that?
My response, I was very passionate about helping society around issues of diabetes, because part of the major problem with diabetes is that because people don't screen and they don't test, so at the end of the day, they end up not knowing, you know, and being able to manage the condition. So my father is diabetic, for an example. Okay. So when I was invited, because a colleague of mine that I used to work with from Accenture requested me to go and assist the foundation put a strategy together, which was based on my experience in Accenture. So put a strategy together and help the foundation to focus on the things that can make them effective and help them succeed in achieving their vision, which is about seeing a South Africa where nobody dies because of lack of awareness. So that's the reason why I got involved. Basically exaggerating that passion for fighting diabetes with my relationship with the president, I find it to be a little bit exaggerated, more especially because when you look at what that foundation does and what it's been able to achieve, really it's got nothing to do with politics. It's pure public health and me as a South African wanting to contribute.
Do you have a relationship with the president?
Other than meeting him whenever we had sort of fundraising events, because he was very keen to know how we're doing as a foundation and supporting our patron, who's his wife, I'm not friends with the president.
And did he appoint you? Did he make a phone call to say, this is your call-up, this is your country duty, please will you do it? Or did it happen some other way?
No, he didn't call me up. In fact, even when I got a call that I will be the chairperson, I didn't get the call from the president. I got the call from the people from his office, not him.
If I scroll through your cell phone, would his number be in it?
No, it won't be.
Okay, just check. No, he's handing it over. He's handing it over. What do you make of the fact that the moment that you're appointed as the SABC chair, people start sniffing around for dirt? What does that tell you?
Well, the problem we have is that we've lost trust. I mean, you know, off air we spoke about this, that people tend to scrutinize everything, which is okay. But also at the same time, once they've been given explanation, they should allow you and trust what you tell them. Because the truth of the matter is, there's been great appointments that were done by President Zuma. If you look at Thuli Madonsela, he's one of the success stories of this country.
He didn't make that mistake again, did he? No.
You know, if you look at our, Mogoeng, the judge president, is an appointment by the president. And there's a whole lot of other South Africans who are appointed by the very same men who've gone and done well. And my plea and my request really is to allow me and my board space to do our work and judge us on what we achieve and the results of our work.
It's been a month already, one board resignation. Rachel Kalidas, who resigned in an absolute froth over the appointment of a new chief executive of the SABC. She says the candidate for the SABC is inappropriate, concerns of fraud and corruption hanging over his head, as well as strong conflicts of interest. Why did she quit?
To be honest, I think she was running away from taking responsibility and accountability for what she had done wrong.
What did she do wrong?
As a board, we had a meeting with all 11 non-executive boards, engaging with the candidates that we were scrutinizing, interviewing and engaging for the positions that are available. In preparation, we had an hour prep where I've basically said, colleagues, let's sort of agree on what are the areas that we're going to be focusing on. That was the first thing. Then the second thing is everybody was given an opportunity to engage these individuals because we had them in front of us. Anything that may have been of concern, we were given opportunities to do that. What was strange with Rachel, she decided to keep quiet. After the interviews, the candidate leaves. Okay, we have a deliberation for over 3 hours as a board. Of course, there were people who had certain things, and then as a board, we had to debate issues, and I think that's healthy. Any board that is not able to deliberate and engage robustly, for me, is not an effective board. We had a robust discussion. Then at the end of the day, then she starts raising, the first thing says, I want my dissent to be recorded because I'm not happy with this candidate.
And the candidate, the DA has said, is Alan Mukoki, who is the former chief executive of the Land Bank. Is that a fact?
I'm not going to confirm any names. I have got to respect this candidate because they are employed somewhere.
All right.
So until the process is finalized, I don't think it's fair for me.
When will that process be finalized?
We're having a meeting as a board again on Friday, just to review, because what had happened with the group CEO, we set up a team to go and really not dig up, but do a thorough research around this candidate, because we don't want to make a mistake.
No.
We don't want to also exclude people based on newspaper headlines. There's been a lot of instances where people get labeled wrongly or falsely accused. So you can't say this person is not suitable based on a newspaper article. You've got to do thorough research. And that's what we've been busy with.
How are you going to restore trust, public trust, in the public broadcaster?
Firstly, is to have the right executives with the right competences, the right experience, and the right profile at the helm of the SABC. That's the first thing.
Ethics?
Ethics, values, all of those things are required to help us restore the SABC. But also we've got to defend the independence of the SABC. We must be seen to be adhering to the Constitution and the Broadcasting Act. The third thing is we must be seen to be taking decisions that are sound, that are objective, and that are in the best interest of South Africans.
Have you had a single phone call from a politician in the last month directing you in any particular way, or so making any sort of inference or suggestion as to the way in which you manage the board of the SABC?
I haven't had. I haven't had any politician calling me to do a thing, one or two.
And no intermediaries either? No secret notes?
No.
Because the people move in mysterious ways. When you look at your TV screen and you look at the parliamentary channel and you look at the scrutiny under which former executives, former board members of Eskom are coming under the most extraordinary scrutiny we've probably seen in our democracy. I mean, does that sort of make you go cold a little bit and go, therefore, but by the grace of God, go I?
What gives me comfort is that the board that I run has got people with the right competence. Sometimes people go into boards without having not much to offer, but also not being experienced in the field. Of course, we don't all have to be experts in broadcasting, but if you look at the team that I have and that I'm part of, it's competent individuals, very good reputation, who are credible individuals, who will do anything to defend their own credibility. And that, for me, gives me comfort. And they're all passionate about the SABC and the country at large.
And when you look at those hearings, do you look at them and go, we better ensure integrity on this board because we could be next if we don't get this right?
That's correct. It's actually a good lesson. I mean, observing what is happening, it just helps you to focus and to know that if you do wrong and if you don't do what South Africans would be proud of, you will be exposed.
When will we know who the new chief executive of the SABC is?
It's hard to tell for now because the appointing a CEO for an organization of SABC size, you've got to do thorough work.
Within a month?
We're not going to rush it. It can't be done within a month.
Okay.
No, it can't be done within a month.
Big job ahead for Bonga Musa Makatini, the new chair of the SABC.